بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Aisha رضي الله عنها's advice is recorded in Bukhari Sharif. The gist of her advice is, when someone praises you, لا يستخفنك, don't you get deceived with people's praises. وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ أَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Because the one that's going to preside over your matter is Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is going to watch. People may say whatever they want to say, and they may have any impression about you, and you may have an impression of yourself. But the judge is Allah Ta'ala. So you don't get deceived with people's praises or with your opinion about yourself. As Ummul Mu'mineen that became Ummul Mu'mineen, they didn't just become Ummul Mu'mineen like that. When you look at the depth of their knowledge, their understanding, then you understand Allah chose them to be the Ummul Mu'mineen because of some reason. So it's such an advice that man requires throughout his life, no matter what achievements he makes, what glories he is aiming at and what he makes for himself. But with all that, you cannot decide about yourself that where you stand. Ya to aise raho, ya to waise raho, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. People may say, you may say, and you may use a lot of hadith to support your stance. But all that, everything said and done, the final statement, the judgment, the decision is Allah Ta'ala's. You don't know where there can be a fault. You do not know where that fault lies. In your opinion, your understanding, you think everything is going on well. But where the mistake lies, you do not know. So, قُلْ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ أَمَلَكُمْ. Allah is going to watch. So that is why you will notice that sometimes a great person makes a small mistake. Right? And when you compare the person against the mistake that he made, he stumbled, then really you understand the majesty and the greatness of the person. See Adam alayhi salam and the error that he had committed. Right? So when we look at him from a different dimension, then he must have been very great in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Very, very great. And Allah Ta'ala wanted to preserve his greatness. So now the yardstick by Allah Ta'ala, the criterion by Allah Ta'ala, is مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. As you lower yourself, then Allah Ta'ala will elevate you. Right. Now, this dunya is Darul Asbab. It's a world of means, causes and means, right? So whenever Adam alayhi salam will think of himself, he'll review himself, say, see, for a second, if I did not have the grace of Allah Ta'ala, see how I fell. So when he reflects over himself, then his mind will be entirely on the grace of Allah Ta'ala. For a second also, it won't be with him. That 1 second, if the grace of Allah Ta'ala and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala just shifts from me, then I'm gone. So can you imagine now the level of confidence, the level of trust, the level of expectation he'll have on Allah Ta'ala and how it will be shifted away from him. He's gone, nothing within him. You know, whatever it was just Allah Ta'ala. It was just his grace. So really this incident must make us understand, must bring us to the conclusion of the maqam and the position of Adam alayhi salam, that Allah Ta'ala wanted him so elevated, that his sight and his focus mustn't be on himself for a single moment. So at any point of his life, at whatever achievement that he's made, he's going to look at this, and then he'll be shifted immediately to the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So you can imagine now what maqam, what position of his, what will be his position. You hear of that incident of Hazrat Abu Abdullah Undulusi Rahmatullah Ali, right? And the mistake that he made, and then the personality now, the great saintly person, wali of his time, thousands of mutalliqeen and mureedeen he's got. There's no shortage of mutalliqeen. And then he's a muhaddis. He's a qari of the Quran Sharif, knows the different dialects. Right? So he's an alim of the zahir and alim of the batin. And then when he stumbles, can you imagine now the stumble from that position that he is, and now he's herding swines, right? And that same stick that he used to use, staff that he used to use to deliver sermons, he's herding pigs. He's got a cross around his neck. From where to where, right? So that whole thing, that whole episode continues for a year, and then Allah Ta'ala ushers him into his mercy again. Now, we need to look at this story from two perspectives. One is what led him to this. What brought him to this? For a moment, when he saw those idolaters, whoever it was, so he thinks to himself, you know, what stupid people, like donkeys, these people here. What are they doing? Senseless things, lifeless things they are worshipping. Where's their brains gone to? And the moment he thought in this manner, and that grace of Allah Ta'ala just shifted from him. You see, you are enshrouded, you are covered by grace. And as you covered by grace, then you are moving. But the moment that grace just shifts away from you, then you have dropped your guard. As though you have dropped your guard. Anything, any arrow that is fired against you, you are in a dangerous point, in a very dangerous line. So for a moment, this thought just flashed his mind. And Allah Ta'ala showed him, okay, see, if my grace has to shift away from you, then see what can happen to you. And then after a year, he comes back. Now this really is to make us understand two things. One is that you value the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Number two, to understand the position of this sheikh. He must have been such a great person that just that thought had passed his mind and Allah Ta'ala wanted to correct him. Just the thought. So when the thought passed his mind, he got involved in a girl, although he didn't commit zina for his entire life, but the love of this woman had overwhelmed him. Now he can't concentrate, he can't focus on his work. Now I ask you, can't this happen to us? You're in an office environment, and there's someone that comes in, and the eyes meet, and then what happens? Your whole mind is gone. Your whole mind capsizes. You can't think in your business, you can't operate well, you can't have an enjoyable family life. That thought just overwhelms, it eats your mind up. In a second, how it can happen? So don't lose sight of the fact that you are covered by divine grace. It's not you, it's the grace that has covered you. But by the same token, Allah wants us not to despise the person. This person is of a very, very high maqam. That one mistake he's made, and we had put him right down, we wanted to exalt him afterwards. So we exalted him even higher than what he was. But now, because of his position, his proximity with Allah Ta'ala, we had to put him through this. So, whatever maqam, whatever position you have reached, wherever you are, then don't lose sight of the fact that it's divine grace that is enshrouding, covering you. Otherwise, what's the difference between you and him? Besides the grace that is reflecting on you, then what's the difference? It's not your personal property. The light of the earth is not the property of the earth. The light of the earth is not the property of the earth. Everything becomes bright and beautiful, not on account of the earth itself, but it is the reflected light of the sun that brings about the beauty and the brightness in the earth. Otherwise, if the sun shifts away its grace, it shifts away its radiance, it shifts away, it moves away its brilliance, what happens to the earth? You don't want to be here. It's no light. Imagine there's no, for a moment think there's no such a thing like electricity. And there is no radiance of the sun as well. Right? Then you can't see the earth, you don't know the beauty of the earth, you can't appreciate a thing. So the earth cannot be proud of itself. It is the reflected grace, the radiance of the sun, that the earth is so beautiful, so bright. So exactly the same, in fact even more, the good that you see in you, be it the intelligence, be it the beauty, be it the strength, be it the power and influence, be it the affluence, whatever it is, but it is the reflected beauty of Allah Ta'ala that is making you what you are. You are being respected because of His grace. You are being liked because of His grace. You are being accepted in circles because of His grace. His grace just turns away from you and you're gone, finish. There's nothing of you. You left. All in the dark. You are nothing, absolutely nothing. Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Makkah Mukarrama, right? On the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, and he's entering. So that famous line of Mustafa rahmatullahi, Fatihana Makkah aye, Sarjukai Chashmanam. Came into Makkah Mukarrama with his Mubarak head lowered down. Sarjukai Chashmanam. He came, he's defeated the whole nation. The whole Makkah Mukarrama is in his control. Nobody can stand up against him. The power, the might, the glory that he's got. But now look at the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. At that time that his enemies have all been defeated. All are at his mercy. At that time also he's not forgotten that it is Allah Ta'ala that made it happen. Sar Jukai, that this is not mine. It is from Allah Ta'ala. La ilaha illallah wahda. Anjasa wa'ada. Now this humility is not just something of display. The humility is that humility that comes out from the heart. Otherwise, I can talk of myself, or I'm nothing, nachis, and talk about that. But that is not the thing that counts. The thing that counts, that humility that counts, is that humility that comes from the heart. That humility is not your facial expression. It is not your outward behavior. It is the inner cell, inner condition of the heart. That is humility. And that humility comes on account of your reflection over the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The majesty of Allah Ta'ala brings about that khashiyat in you. When you think about His glory, His power, etc., then that brings about an understanding of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. When you think of the glory of Allah Ta'ala and the vastness of His treasures, it's mind-boggling, really mind-boggling. Just the visible, only the visible glory and the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Look at it, the glory of Allah Ta'ala, look at it in three respects. See, the energy that's radiating from the sun, right? And the sun is radiating and passing on that energy throughout the universe. Right? If you add a value to it, can you add a real value to it? The amount of energy, the amount of light, the amount of benefit that man is taking just because of the sun, can you attach a value to it? No value to it. It's beyond billions and billions. So you see the limitless bounty of Allah Ta'ala. One little shop is not working now. My shop, how will make it work? But look at the treasure of Allah Ta'ala, don't look at your limitation. Look at the treasure of Allah Ta'ala, leave your limitation. when we are about starting the madrasa here, I think 2 or 3 years before we started the madrasa, so one Abraul Haq Sahib from Hardoi, Rahmatullah, he had come on. So it was a concern at that time. Now we need to start off the madrasa, and we were operating from home at the time. Maybe 82, 81 on that time he had come. It's a concern, we need to start the madrasa, but how is it going to happen? The madrasa will not just fall from the asman like that. Right. There are subsystems, how is it going to happen? So Mawla Abraz Sahib had a talk in the top masjid. So his words, approximate words were, that apne hudood ko na dekho, don't look at your limitations. Uske be intiya khazana ko dekho. Look at the limitless treasures of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, we consider ourselves to be insignificant, but that doesn't mean that we mustn't reflect over His unlimited grace. So something is not working, that shop is not working, this thing is not working. At that time, we can't be consumed with that worry. So this, the energy that Allah Ta'ala is supplying and, right throughout the globe, can you anybody attach a price to it? And this is not happening from now, from millions of years it's happening. It's happening all the time. And you cannot say that the sun's energy is depleted. You cannot say that. It's carrying on and on. The light is carrying on. The energy is carrying on. And from that energy, everybody is benefiting. It's you, it's plants, it's vegetation, it's the earth, everything is benefiting. That's one treasure of Allah Ta'ala, right? You can't attach a price to it. Imagine if Allah Ta'ala didn't provide any light, you people sort your own selves out. What a price it would have been for you to sort yourselves out. How much it would cost you? Then the second thing that you all enjoy and we can't attach a price to it is the blessings of rain, right? One rain and how many billions of rains Allah Pak is sending? One rain, just one rain. 1 liter of good mineral water, perhaps about 10 rand, right? 1 liter, right? But Allah Pak is sending it in torrents and torrents, and he's not concerned about it. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ We're using it, and we also don't concern, we don't attach a price to it. But it's about the purest water that you can think of. You can't think of a water that is as pure as the rainwater. And Allah Pak is sending it, and He's sending it. No limit to it. If you ever think of it, look at the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. That's the second blessing that you all enjoy. And we don't even attach any importance, any significance to it. Then the third blessing that Allah Pak sends, and it carries on, I think it's about the largest, the hugest blessing of Allah Ta'ala, is the oxygen and the air that we inhale. Can you attach a price to it? Imagine now if you couldn't get oxygen and everybody had to have an oxygen tank. How much it will cost? And still you will not enjoy that air. That free air you will not enjoy it. It will be made up air, right? You will not get that, enjoy that free oxygen. Then there are other benefits of Allah Ta'ala and the enjoyments of Allah Ta'ala that all, everybody enjoys. Like this also three, all everybody enjoys. Then other favors of Allah Ta'ala also everybody enjoys, right? The comfort of passing out. Imagine if you were constipated, how you would feel? Miserable, you're fighting with others, getting frustrated, uneasy, you can't function, mind can't work. The food went in well, but it got stuck now, can't come out. So these are the comforts that even the poor enjoy more than the wealthy. He goes 5 minutes and it's over. And the poor old wealthy man, he has to have the newspaper, everything inside. After 1 hour, half an hour, 3/4 hour, then he's pushing out. Can't take out. And yeah, 5 minutes, it's finished, everything is cleared up. Down, kalash. Yeah, you made the most beautiful toilet with all the tiles and all the finishes and everything. And everything to catch and distract your attention. With all that, you can't relieve. And the poor person, 5 minutes, too much, let me get out. As it is, there is no ethos in the toilet. And then he has to also just leave straight away. And you made up the toilet, so you have to remain there 1 hour. So the poor person, he really enjoys that comfort more than all of us. The second thing everybody enjoys, poor and rich, is sleep. At the time you are sleeping, whether it's a king or it's a pauper, going out and sleeping, right? It's such a favor of Allah Ta'ala that the poor and the wealthy is the same. Whether it's the king or the pauper, the poorest or the wealthiest, most influential, both are the same. In fact, the poorest is much better in the sleep. You'll see them sleeping in the street, they're fast asleep, they're gone, they don't know what's going on. Cars are going around, all type of noise, but they're gone, finished. And yeah, Bishara, he's got that home, with the security, with the patrol, with alarms and everything, but he's tossing around, can't get the sleep. Eventually, he has to take a tablet, and then he gets into an unconscious state, and he comes up again. But you see this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So is there anything that we can be proud of ourselves? It's wealthy and poor, both alike, everybody is enjoying it. Nobody can say he's not enjoying it. Now the lesson that will teach us humility, there was one lecturer here, so I told him, see that this lesson that we're talking about evolution and whatever, we're talking about the big stories. So I told him, by the story that will teach you humility is, you see, when you go to the toilet, you have to wash all that filth yourself. No matter what professor, what king you are, but that filth you have to touch with yourself, the most stinking thing, you have to touch it yourself, rub it off your body. And you won't want anybody to do it for you. You want to do it yourself. That filth, you're going to be washing it out, and you're going to be washing it out yourself. And you don't want to touch the thing, but you have to touch that thing to get the thing out of the system. Now that must teach you humility. See, I got all the power, all the wealth, all the riches, I got everything. But when it came to this point here, I just have to do it. Whether I like it or not, I have to do it. So isn't it a thing for us to learn humility? That what we have got, and what we reduce to, what we've got, and then what we reduce to. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. We have taken you to the highest, and we can lower you to the lowest. Like we have got the ability to take you to the highest, we have got that might and that power to take you to the lowest of the lowest. One is the toilet will teach you humility. The second thing that will teach all humility is Allah Ta'ala has guarded your respect. From the time that you know yourself till now, right, or in the dark corners and the alleys and the gullies, what you were doing, right, in the quiet and the open, what you did in school days, right. If everything was videoed, and everything was running around, this is what this person did at this time, and this person, he had done this, and whatever he done. See? I ask you, anybody will be wanting to live. It's such a dark picture of yourself, but Allah got everything in record. Every picture he's got in record. Everything you said, you did, you behaved, in secret or in open, everything Allah knows about. So if Allah had to video everything, and display it, just circulate that video all around. Or for example, that was videoed, and then when you became a grandfather, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and your daughter-in-law, son-in-law, all are watching, Hazrat used to do all this. What happens with Hazrat? So isn't it enough? Isn't it not enough? هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. For people of intelligence, isn't this a thing, a striking lesson? See, there's no need for me to be proud of myself. No need to be arrogant. Allah's grace just enshrouded and covered me up. So actually, people are respecting, they're not respecting me, they're respecting the grace of Allah Ta'ala. It's not you that they're respecting. It's His grace that they're respecting. But we become fools, and we begin to feel that Allah, the people are respecting us, they like us. And the beast of some enters Makkah Mukarrama. I said, Fatihana Makkah, Sarjukaya Chashminam. It's kind. The greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the glory of Allah Ta'ala, appreciation to Allah Ta'ala, and he's entering Makkah Mukarrama. And then, Hani radiallahu anha says, that as he came into Makkah Mukarrama, Then about the first thing that he had done, he had a bath, and then he had performed 8 rakats namaz. Some people call it Salatul Duha, and some people call it Salatul Fatah. It's 8 rakats for the conquest, as a gratitude, as a token that Allah Ta'ala made this so smooth and so easy for me. I could just march into Makkah Mukarramah like a breeze. I could just go into Makkah Mukarramah. So his first sight is not bloodshed, is not to show power and authority, is not to hurt, not to humiliate, not to disgrace, is to bow down to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you made this happen. Nasr al-Abda wahdahu. You did it alone. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he built the Baitul Muqaddas, then that was the first thing that he had done. He had fed the people, and he had gone onto the Sakhra, we call it the Dome of the Rock, right? He had gone there and performed namaz in Sajda, then he pleaded for 3-4 things he had pleaded. Allah, if anybody enters here, forgive him, wipe him out, clean him up. All his sins, past and future, forgive him. Number two is this, if he's got any zarurat, any need, Allah fulfill his need. Whatever need, small need, Allah fulfill it. Number three, if he's come in here seeking asylum and refuge, Allah grant him the refuge. Allah, if he's got any other fears, Allah allay his fears. That was the du'as that he made. Again, he came, and as Allah allowed him the completion of the masjid, this was the first thing that he had done. The Bani Israel, so they were also asked, اُدْخُلُ الْبَابَ سُجَّدَوْا وَقُولُوا حِتَّةٌ نَغْفِلْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. Alright, you want some of the pleasures of the world, we give it to you. But as you enter the gates of the town, قُولُوا حِتَّةٌ اُدْخُلُ الْبَابَ سُجَّدَوْا وَقُولُوا حِتَّةٌ. You enter prostrating, prostration of shukr, the sajda of shukr, you go and do that, and you go into sajda and ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. حِتَّةٌ نَغْفِلْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. We'll forgive you all your mistakes. But you entering, Allah Ta'ala is allowing this to happen. So what must be, dil ki kya kaifiyat honi chahiye? Asking and imploring Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, entering with total humility, Allah Ta'ala, you made it happen. We're not worthy of this, and we have got, hum pur taqseer hai, we are full of gunas. So this humility comes from the heart. It's not just an expression of the face. It's not just a physical expression. The humility that comes deep down from the heart. We are mistaken many a times. So, these things I have brought in, that we reflect over ourselves. When we reflect ourselves, then we understand the glory of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, what happens to us, sometimes we are seeing ourselves in some piety, etc. And then we feel, oh, it's an achievement, I have done this. And I have made this happen. My child is like this. We don't realize that whether that house, whether that individual, whether that child, whoever it is, but it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that has wrapped you, has protected you. And Allah Pak just drops it and finish, you're gone. All the arrows are just shooting onto you. You don't know where you're going to fall in disgrace and embarrassment. So Sulaiman Islam is doing the same thing. The Bani Israel, they are commanded to do the same thing. Udkhul Baba, you're going to Baitul Muqaddas, and this is what you must do. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and he's the conqueror of Persia. And when he conquered Persia, then he goes into the palace of Kisra. Khusro, they say it in English. Arabic Kisra, he goes into the palace. And the first thing that he offers, 8 rakats of namaz. Salatul Fath, call it. Or Salatul Duha. What Nabi Sam did in Makkah Mukarramah, he did the same thing here. Did we ever have the tawfiq? We did a good business. Oh Allah Ta'ala, let me offer 8 rakats, 10 rakats. Let me cry to Allah Ta'ala, it's your grace. It's your fazl. No, but you know what? I worked for it. The sweat, the blood, you know. What type of mehnat I made after this. As though Sulaiman didn't work for the Baitul Muqaddas. Nabi Sam did not work for the Fath Makkah Mukarramah. Today only you work in your business. Did we ever do that? In our learning and our teaching, Allah Ta'ala made it possible that good came out of our learning. We learnt it well, we delivered it well, and the people that were under us, they took it well. Did we ever offer any type of appreciation, Allah Ta'ala, like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam offered rakats of gratitude? Afala akunu abdan shakura. Must I not be a thankful and a grateful servant? Can't I be grateful? The Allah Ta'ala made me learn it, grasp it well, deliver it well, people took it well from me. This is all the grace of Allah Ta'ala. I'm offering a few rakats as a token of appreciation. Can't we say that? In whatever type of learning, but who made it happen? Who made it possible that you grasp the concepts, you are able to deliver the thing? So when we look at it with a tunnel vision, one dimension, my effort, my achievement, I made it happen. By the way, you say, yeah, but it was the grace of Allah, by the way. So everything is yours, and by the way, you just slip in Allah as well. When there was the crowning, you know, they have a whole celebration for the crowning, those old days. So when there's a crowning session, they have a big celebration. So Shah Jahan, he was the king of India. Now, as he's being thrown in, ushered in to be the king of India after his father Jahangir. So there's a whole celebration going on. And the crowning and the throning, all these things happening. So the throne in those days used to be called Takht-e-Ta'us. Takht-e-Ta'us, that used to be the throne in India. Invaluable thing. After the conquest of India, India had collapsed. That thing disappeared. The Kohinoor, everything disappeared. Whoever made it to disappear, Allah Pak knows. But it's gone, right? So that was called the Takht-e-Ta'us. Now, Shah Jahan, when he went onto the throne, the first thing he did on the throne, he went onto sajda and cried for about half an hour. And then he got up. In the meanwhile, his friend was Sa'dullah Khan. Sa'dullah Khan, when he got up from that throne, Sa'dullah Khan said, see, it's lucky, it's your blessing, it's a you are fortunate. The first response was, you went down into sajda and you cried to Allah Ta'ala. Right. Otherwise, had you not done this, you see this, he pulled out the dagger under his sleeve and said, this would have burst your stomach and you would have been killed straight away. Because we are napkin friends, we are buddies from childhood. Right? And if you had only shown a little bit of pride and arrogance, I would have finished you straight away. Whatever would have happened to me would have happened. But I wouldn't want my friend to go into Jahannam for his pride. I would have finished you before you could have been bloated with pride and arrogance. So it was just your luck that you, the first thing you have done, you have just bowed down to Allah Ta'ala. That was His grace, it was His tawfiq, it was His magnificence that made this possible. See this pride. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi gave a story that many a times you get women writing up, you know. In those days, they went that emails and all that, writing up. What a pious person I am. I read my namaz and all. But see my husband, Sharabi Kababi Ka. What a terrible person I am stuck up with. I hardly read namaz, got bad habits and all that. So, Adhari Rahmatullah wouldn't like this type of a letter. And he would say, what this woman thinks of herself? If Allah tries to reverse the whole thing around, the piety that you've got is not your own. It is the reflected beauty of Allah Ta'ala that is showing in you. Now you consider this to be your own. Yes, you may say that I can't manage this life. But don't consider this to be your own achievement. Don't consider this to be your own personal beauty, your own personal piety and righteousness and virtue. It is the gift of Allah Ta'ala that is shown in you. Allah can turn it away. Yes, you can say I can't manage this. I'm not used to this. But you don't say words that will amount to the fact that you are greater than him. So in this piety of ours, sometimes Shaitan makes us think in this manner. Let's see this person here, what is he and what am I? What is he and what am I? You see these incidents, in all this, every incident of this nature, and what is teaching us? Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah comes about, then he is taught to recite Subhanallah bihamdihi, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. Subhanallah bihamdihi, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. But did we ever take all the time to try and understand what this is all about? Any other thing, you want to take out the time to work it out, right? This business opportunity is coming in. So we need to work it out. What's the gain? What is the profit? What is the feasibility? And who should we send? And who should go and do the negotiation? Explain to us, make us understand. So we go through a whole process to understand the business. We don't just go and invest our money like that. It takes us months to understand the thing properly. We got a good picture of the thing, then we invest. But when the gifts of Allah Ta'ala comes, Allah Pak is asking us to do certain things, then do we think about this thing? What is this? What is the hidden message here? What is Allah Pak conveying to us? Do we ever take the time to do these things? So do we ever take out the time to find out what is the message? Subhanallah, bihamdi, astaghfirullah, wa atubu. Do we ever take the time to find out what is the message of Allah Ta'ala? So when we said Subhanallah, what we said, that Allah Ta'ala, all the magnificence, the beauty, the greatness is yours. You are unlimited. In the grace you are unlimited, the beauty you are unlimited, the majesty you are unlimited, everything of yours is unlimited. Because there is no blemish against you. You are pure of any blemish, any weakness, any type of limitation, you are absolutely pure. And when I look at myself, I am full of all that weakness. When I look at you, then you are full of majesty. And when I look at myself, then I'm full of weakness. That for a second, Allah Pak leaves me, I'm gone, finish. For a second. Flash of a second, Allah Pak leaves you and you're gone. So therefore you say Subhanallah. So at the end of his life, he's been taught to say Subhanallah bihamdi, at the end of his life. Because at the end of the life now, you want to glorify about your past. You know, we did this, and we did this, and we did this. أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُ وَلَهُ وَزِينَةٌ. And the last stage, وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ. Then pride, mutual rivalry. I got more, you got less. You want to compare then? Because now you're seeing your business, you're seeing that person's business. You're seeing your achievements and his achievements. Your luck and his luck. So you want to compete now. You finish all the other phases of life. لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ لَعِبُ وَلَهُمْ وَزِينَةٌ. All that you finished. Now when you finish all the other phases, what you left is to be proud and to be glorifying about your past. Because the masti is gone in you now. Now you don't have the strength to make masti. Before you had the strength to make masti and all that. So that is gone now, finished, kalas now. Taqat is gone, kalas. Everything is finished. So the only thing that is left now is that mental pride. That pride that is in the mind. Because every other thing that was in you is gone now. Strength to eat is gone. The strength for woman is also gone. Everything is gone. Kalas. Now what you left with, the only thing you're bloating and gloating about is your past. Oh, I had this, and I did this, and we did this, and we did this. And we are so powerful, and we are so strong, and we got so much of achievements. Right? So you're bloating and gloating about the past. وَتَفَاخُرُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ. You see how Quran says, how aptly that thing, how Quran says put it. وَتَفَاخُرُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ. But the classroom, our school produced so many matriculants. And it's only business, the school will also show it. The madrasa will also start being proud about itself. A school also will be proud about itself. And this dua, subhanallah, bihamdi, is teaching you something else. Then don't look at it from a narrow tunnel vision. Look from it from a different perspective. That all this is the glory of Allah Ta'ala. It's the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. When you said Subhanallah, you turned everything away from you. But Allah Pak is nothing from me. It's just yours. It's your beauty. And when it's your beauty, then wa bihamdihi, then praise, all praise belong to you only. You are free of blemish. You are the most majestic. You are the most gracious. Your grandeur knows no ends and no limits. So therefore, all praise belongs to you. Or bihamdihi. And Allah Ta'ala's praise is original praise. I just mentioned this now. The praise that people offer to us is reflected praise. It's not our praise. Like when the earth, if it's going to be proud about its brightness and its beauty, is not proud about its own self. It cannot be proud about its own self. It's a reflection, reflected praise. So the same when people praise us, it's not our own personal thing. It's reflected. What is original is Allah Ta'ala's. Bihamdi. That's original beauty. So reflected is a reflected. And original is original. Reflection is reflection. And original is original. An original passport is an original passport. And a camouflage is a camouflage passport. Fake is a fake. It's a made up thing. So if someone is proud about his fake passport, what do you say? By is there a limit in it to madness? He's got a fake passport and he's brought up. Hey, see, I got a passport. What a passport. He's got money, but all fake money he's got. He's got money, but he's got all fake money. He's very proud about himself. So our Buzhwana didn't say that only that person can be proud who is stupid. Like, you know, he's got stacks of fake money and he's so proud about himself. What do you say? Bewakufi ki koi intiha hai. Got a fake passport and he's proud about himself. He's got a stolen car and he's proud about himself. It's not his own car. The cops are after him. There's a warrant of arrest against him. And he is bloating and gloating in pride. What would you say? So therefore they say that only a mad person can be proud. Person who's normal, who's calm, normal, composed, he can't be proud. One saintly person, for a moment, the thoughts of pride had just passed his mind. See, what a, you know, 25 years, and he's expressing it to his audience. For 25 years, I did not miss out a single namaz without takbir ula. He just mentioned it. 25 years, I performed my namaz with takbir ula. And then, he just got up the bed to perform the asr namaz. And as he got up, he heard that the namaz is over. See, 1 second, Allah Akbar moves that grace, gone. 25 years now, you know, you had that pride against your name, that I had my takbir ula for 25 years. And Allah Akbar showed you how I can make you miss that. So, rather than considering and thinking at your achievement, think of His beauty. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Do you see that? So this dua is very significant. Therefore, Saqilatani fil mizan, Habibatani ila Rahman. Allah Pak likes the word and is going to be weighing very heavily on the scales tomorrow. You know, a little times, right? We're going home, from home we are coming here, or going to the masjid, going to, can't we just have a tasbih? Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhanallah. Can't we do these things here? It's likable to Allah Pak. Allah Pak loves these words. And that is weighing so heavily on the scales. Can't we just a little bit of time, just tell our friends, but don't mind. I'm just going to make some tasbih and all that. But you all carry on, whatever you all need to carry on, you all carry on, continue. I was in small moments, right? We're sitting for a talk, right, for a bayan. Whilst we're waiting there, rather than talking around, looking around, what's the time and who came, and what time the bayan is going to finish, and who's going to give the bayan, and how he's going to start off with, whether he's coming with the nazam or whatever, trying to figure out how it's going to work out, by just look down and engage in some tasbih. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah. Or istighfar. But the best thing that a student can do, a learner of deen can do, is engage himself in istighfar. Ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Imagine you die, but you're regretful, you're remorseful, and you're asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. In that state, Allah Ta'ala takes your soul away. What a great blessing. So you said, subhanallah, bihamdi, and astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. When you said astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, that means you reflected over Allah's glory, His blessings, His favors all your life. He has saved you from so much of accidents, so much of damages, so much of problems. He saved you. And then you don't have the ability to show the gratitude. You enjoyed so much, you benefited so much, you did so much, you gained so much. But if I didn't have something, I didn't show that level of gratitude. I couldn't show that level of appreciation. So because of my inability to show that level of appreciation that was required of me, I'm trying to cover up and compensate. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Tuba liman kana fi, or liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathiran. Congratulations. Allah Pak's Nabi Sallam is saying, congratulations to that person who finds in his books of deeds, in his register of deeds, he finds a lot of istighfar. He's been asking Allah's forgiveness again and again. Repeatedly he's been asking Allah's forgiveness. So congratulations to him. See this lesson of humility, this lesson of not bloating and gloating in one's pride, one's achievement. It happened with Allah Pak. We were seated by Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. This Buzhwana Deen, their minds, they are at a different level. We were seated around him. And one small girl, maybe about 7-8 years of age, she came around and she said, Mufti Sahib, my father died. And we don't have money for kafan. So that's the one from 1976-77. So he pulled out about 50 rupees. For that time, it was a good amount of money. Go and help yourself out. So the girl took the money and she went away. In the meanwhile, we told Mufti Sahab Rahmatullahi ki hum jante hai aur aap bhi jante hai ki ye jhooti hai. You know it and we know it also. That she speaks, she made up a story, right? That she had to kill someone to deserve the 50 rupees. Father died, so and so died. Now who's going to investigate? The open got a million population. Who's going to investigate who's that person, how he died, where he died, and all. Nobody's going to investigate that. For her, it was an easy thing to make up a story, right? And she pulled out the 50 rupees and she's gone. So Musa Ahmed's answer was, see, now look at their consciousness, their reflection to Allah. He says, I gave her that 50 rupees in a way of thanking Allah Ta'ala. In a way of appreciation to Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala wanted, He could have swapped the roles. He could have put me in that position that I would have been constrained to speak a lie to make that 50 rupees. You could have done that. What stops Allah Ta'ala? Is there anybody that rules Allah Ta'ala? That controls Allah Ta'ala? That's got an authority of Allah Ta'ala? You could have put me into that position. I would have been constrained to speak a lie to get some type of money. Allah Ta'ala saved me from that. Allah Ta'ala protected me from that. And as a token of appreciation, I'm giving this 50 rupees to her. But you see how their minds work. How they think. Allah Ta'ala give us some of the barakat of these people here. You can understand what is humility. After all, we've been created for this. Illa liya'budun. For what? To show that ubudiyat. To show abdiyat. To show servitude. To show that you are a slave. And really, you know, Allah Pak really loves this servitude and this slavery. To show that you are nothing. To show that you are a slave. Allah Pak likes it. But even amongst people, living amongst people, the person shows himself to be insignificant, low, nothing. Then people also begin to like him. If he doesn't have any ulterior motives, one is, I show you a lot of humility and respect, but then I need something from you. That happiness is not like it was originally. But without any matlab, but I'm humble, I'm soft, I'm trying to offer my service. Anybody for that matter, he becomes lovable, he becomes likable. But when a person shows that I am someone, I'm significant, I am like this, and whatever, so no matter how pious you are, but then your respect is gone in the sight of people. You have lost it by Allah Ta'ala, long ago you have lost it. But people also begin to despise you, because you're trying to show yourself off. So that person says, alright, he's trying to show off, I am also something. If he's something, I am something as well. So your respect is gone totally. So by Allah Ta'ala also this thing counts, and amongst people also this thing counts. This is the lesson of humility. Whether it's in your home, your wife is humble, she's just agreeing. And what an enjoyable home. Or you agreeing to your wife, what an enjoyable atmosphere. But no, I must show my power. I must show my, you know, I'm coming from this race. I come from this family. They don't know who I am. When you show that, then others also begin to show the same. Then what it is? It's just a power struggle. It's a power struggle. You are showing some words, they are showing some words. You are showing some wealth, they are showing some wealth. You are putting out a gold card, that person is putting out a platinum card. So, aapko kya mila? You did up the wedding for 1 million, he did for 2 million. So, aapko kya mila? You were so eloquent in your speech, that person became more eloquent. So, jo karne ki cheez hai, wo to karte nahi. The thing that we have to do is to show our humility, our inability, our limitation. That is why you find our Buzurganuddin, the style of our ulama, Buzurganuddin, they don't confront a situation, fight, confrontation, quarrel, they try and avoid it, finish. If some person is becoming confrontational, arguing the point, then gradually, gracefully, إِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, respectfully, dignified, and they move away. Allah Baktawfiq.